Welcome to Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. I am Chris Burns, America's number one motivational speaker for fiery inspiration and GPS coach for entrepreneurs and high achievers. Each episode, we interview leaders and great role models who make a massive impact in the world to help you master yourself, take courageous action, and make every day your best day ever. Tracy Minutolo is a side hustle coach and mentor who works with motivated sidepreneurs who are ready to get serious, take control of their futures, and move their businesses from sideline to prime time. She also runs the Side Hustle Success Lab community on Facebook, where serious side hustlers can get the business building basics they need while getting support and making the connections that make a difference. When she's not coaching, she's probably playing with the microorganisms at her day job, hanging out in the San Diego sunshine, or checking out the latest craft beer release. You can find out more at TracyMinutolo.com. Tracy, you ready to rock this?
I'm ready. Let's do this.
She is ready. Awesome. You are now live on Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self. Thank you so much for coming on today to share about the side hustle journey and all that you've been discovering with that, and just inspire the heck out of our audience. Thank you.
Awesome.
Sweet. So we're going to dive right into the question of the day, which is based on the theme of the day, which is I am enough. So Tracy, how has the concept and the principle of I am enough showed up for you in your life with your clients day to day? You know, how does that show up for you?
Well, actually, this is quite timely for me. I'm right now in the process of doing some validation for a course that I'm building. So I'm having tons of interviews with side hustlers, both on my email list and my Facebook community, and just other side hustlers who come my way. And when I first set out to put this course together, I had wanted to include pretty much everything in the kitchen sink. I was thinking, you know, I want to do this and I want to do that, and I want to give, you know, the folks who buy the course every possible thing that I can.
Right.
But what I realized through all of my interviews and just, you know, tons of chats over the past couple of months is really just that, you know, my approach is actually very simple, and where I excel and where I kind of my sweet spot is really on the basics. It's on, you know, really defining and refining your business idea, figuring out who you're meant to serve, and, you know, what makes for the best possible client relationship, what lights you up, you know, how to price your offers and get them out there, and then really just how to, you know, manage your time as it relates to your side business and, you know, your life. So it's not going to be everything in the kitchen sink, and it's awesome. It's really awesome that actually, you know, with every passing week, things kind of get even more and more, I don't know, just, it's a smaller scope. The scope is narrow. The folks that I want to help with this thing, it's not everybody, and it's awesome. So for me, that was kind of a big revelation. I know, you know, maybe some of your viewers have been through this. If they've developed a course or in their businesses, they may have realized, you know, that there is a sweet spot. There's a place, you know, kind of their zone of genius. And, you know, maybe it takes a little while for some folks to really embrace that and realize that you don't have to try to be everything to everyone, because you're probably not going to be anyway. And it's really just an amazing thing to just zero in on the best stuff.
Wow. So that's awesome. Awesome. So instead of trying to prove that you're enough by overwhelming ourselves with, you know, too much content, trying to fit everything into one thing, you learn that, hey, you know, as long as I deliver good value, honoring the promise that I said I was going to do, and make it short, concise, not too much, not overly fluffy, not, you know, overwhelming, but just enough to get people the result and get them across the finish line.
Yeah. Yeah. And just really focusing hard on the basics, that I realize even folks that are maybe a year or two into their side business, they never really took the time to kind of, you know, do that work. So they're in a business right now that's driving them nuts, or they're just not making as much as they had hoped with it. And so, you know, these are the things that are, I think everybody benefits from going through, but that's where I really like to, you know, have that focus be. And it's just awesome. So instead of kind of outsourcing all these other pieces to other experts, you know, it's like, why not just teach this set of basics that I know and I love and I geek out on?
Yeah. I love it. I love it. Basics. Master the basics. That's something we definitely teach at Burn Up Coaching. And Becoming Your Greatest Possible Self, one step at a time, is such a, you know, basic mentality, basic philosophy that we're never too good for. Like, we're never too good for one step at a time. We're never, you know, like, quantum leaps are great. Yes. Awesome. I welcome them. And until that happens, one step at a time. So this is a great start to the interview, Tracy. And why don't you share a little bit more about what you're working on today with the Side Hustle Success Lab and all the that you're creating right now?
Yeah. So with the, you know, all the interviews I've been doing for this course, my Facebook group has gone through a little bit of a shift. So I've had the group for almost 2 years now. And up until now, I really just wanted, like I said, I wanted to deliver what people were asking for, or what they thought they wanted. So I was constantly polling and asking them, you know, do you want to learn about this? Learn about that. And then I was bringing in all these experts in, and I have this series on Sundays called Sunday Brunch. So, and I was bringing in a guest expert every week to come and teach something about productivity or branding or, you know, whatever it might be. And I started to realize, you know, through these interviews that a lot of folks, you know, they don't even know what they should be doing, what they should be focusing on in their side businesses anyway. They're so new at it. They haven't had a paying client. They haven't even really helped somebody get a result yet. So whether they use Trello or Asana or, you know, any of these tools, it's not going to make a difference. And I felt that I was doing a disservice. So that's the thing that I'm the most excited about now, is just in general, this whole like coming back to basics, you know, with the course, with the group, just focusing on some of these really fundamental things and having people can work through these exercises. So I've been in there. Sunday Brunch now is a series of workshops that's just really focusing on, it's first of all, I'm teaching them, and it's just focusing on these basic things. Like, let's get this business idea hammered out. Like, what do you actually want to do? You might be able to do this whole host of things, but what do you actually want to do in this? What are you going to be lit up by every morning to get up and do, you know?
Yeah. Awesome. So it's that fundamental, like, why are you doing the business? What are your values? What is going to drive this? What's going to get you up in the morning, or, you know, allow you to put in those long hours at the end of the day to build this thing? And getting clear on that, you're saying that a lot of people weren't clear on that if they were starting out on their side hustle journey, or even if they were a year or two in, just the mindset of an entrepreneur and the strategy of it and the execution of it, like to build a successful business and be an effective entrepreneur making income, like that's something a lot of people don't get those basics put in.
Right. And a lot of it is just the excitement of getting started with something, especially if you've been an employee all your life, like I was. You know, my first business, that's the path that I went down. I ended up, you know, tired and a little resentful of my clients. And, you know, so that's what I'm trying to do for folks, is help them to kind of slow their roll just a little bit, do a little bit of, you know, work on the front end so that they can actually build something that lights them up and is actually, you know, fun and sustainable, because, you know, side hustles are extra. It's something that, you know, a lot of people are not doing. Most people are not doing. They're going to work, coming home and sitting on the couch. You know, they're getting up at, you know, an hour before work and they're getting ready and going in. We're getting up at like 5 a.m. or we're staying up until midnight. We're doing this. We're sacrificing time, you know, with friends and family to make this happen. It's got to be a good thing. You know, we're not guaranteed any someday in the future. You know, someday is now. So if you want to take care of your health, if you want to, you know, read more, if you want to go on date nights with your spouse, do it now. There's no when I get to this point. None of that's guaranteed.
Wow. Powerful. I love it. I love it. Very practical too. Very, very practical. So Tracy, we're going to dive back into your journey a little bit. And we want to know, like, what were some of the challenges and pivotal moments that shaped your outlook, your perspective, your journey through life?
Yeah, probably the biggest one would be when I moved out west. So I'm originally from the East Coast. So I graduated college and I immediately started spending money because I had some for the first time ever. And I ended up creating a lot of debt for myself. And I moved out west and I worked in retail and as a barista for a little while. So I wasn't really making my lab salary. So the debt just continued to grow. By the time I came to San Diego, I had a nice mountain of debt on my back. And in 2009, when everything was going bad, you know, in the economy, my company at the time, my bosses were faced with a really tough choice. So it was a very small company. We were under 20 employees and they didn't want to lay anybody off. So they essentially took us all back to 32-hour work weeks and cut our salaries by 20%. Wow. And this is an expensive city. And no, I don't have kids or anything like that. Really just taking care of myself. But I was really kind of trying to out-earn my stupidity, as Dave Ramsey would say. I was definitely making some bad decisions. And, you know, I got really scared. I had a lot of debt. And here I was having this big, like, you know, cut in my salary. So I ended up getting to debt management, getting all that stuff taken care of. I mean, it wasn't quick. It took me 3 years to get out of debt.
Wow.
I had to basically relearn my relationship, like retrain myself in terms of how I handle money and credit in particular. And, you know, just kind of like digging my way back from debt. But beyond that, really just having hope for the first time that there is something, there is a life beyond debt, you know. My family, debt was always a big thing. My parents were not great with money either. So that was always just a part of life. A lot of my friends had a lot of debt, whether it was student loans or just bad spending habits. Mm-hmm. So for me to kind of to come to that point where I could see a light at the end of the tunnel was amazing. And that's really what ended up leading me into my first side business and kind of realizing, okay, you know, there are things I can do. It's not hopeless.
Hmm. So was it mainly just financial management that got you out of debt and curious about what other ways can I make money? Or how did that, like, how did you open up to the possibility of entrepreneurship?
Yeah. So when I finished up with the debt management program and I was finally in the clear, I just basically was like, wow, so what do I do now? Mm-hmm. So I remember the day too. I was working, I had like a per diem job that I was doing on Saturdays. And so I was like, well, I need some podcasts to listen to. And I just put in keyword wealth. Mm-hmm. I think it was something, yeah, like that. And I found this podcast. They're no longer making new episodes, but it really, it opened my eyes, my ears to all the possibilities that were out there, you know, different ways that you can put your talents and your interests, you know, out there in the world and actually monetize things and create outside of a full-time job. Mm-hmm. And I was, you know, just kind of dug further and dug further. I found a side hustle show, Well-Kept Wallet, just a ton of shows like in that realm. And I just remember hearing a lot of the guests who sounded really similar to me. Mm. You know, their journeys were similar, their backgrounds were similar, and they just found something that somebody would pay them to do. Mm. And I was like, well, I could do that too. Mm. So, you know, it was another year before I actually got something started. There was a long process leading up to figuring out what the first thing was going to be. But man, yeah, I remember that clearly, just thinking like a light bulb went off.
What was that process like, finding your next thing, your next project, the thing that actually would work and generate money for you?
So I'm a microbiologist by training. I've always worked in labs, and, you know, I actually did a little consulting gig at one point. So I was like, well, I could do that. But, you know, at the same time, not that much fun, one. But two, the other thing was, you know, it would probably be a conflict of interest with the job that I had at the time. And right. I was like, I want to do something different. I wonder what else I could do. So I remember I got one of Ramit Sethi's courses. Mm-hmm. I think it was like earn your first 1K or something like that. And just went through all the exercises, brainstorming on that. And, you know, I came up with a ton of ideas, and then I just scratched all of them. I was like, I don't want to do any of these things. Mm-hmm. and one day I get a lot of my thoughts when I'm in the car, like now.
Yep. Yep.
My bright ideas while I'm listening to podcasts or music on the way to and from work. And I just thought, okay, you know, I am volunteering. Like, I have always been a volunteer in like some capacity, done something additional to my full-time job. And I'm updating WordPress blogs for this nonprofit organization in town. And I'm also doing social media and promotion for this fundraiser event, this annual fundraiser event that I love. I wonder if those skills could work, you know, if somebody would actually be able to use this. Mm. So, you know, listening to all the podcasts I was listening to, and I'd heard of this cool concept called VA, a virtual assistant. And I was like, now I'm a seriously detail-oriented person. I mean, I work in science, and I, you know, follow standard operating procedures, and I'm just all about, you know, everything being the way it should be. And I love reviewing data. So I was like, I wonder. So what I did, I had a couple of podcast hosts that I was in touch with at the time, because I just was on their email list. I would respond when they would say, you know, the old, what are you struggling with? Mm-hmm. Email me. Like, I would just reach out. So I reached out to them and I said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this thing. Like, I would love to provide these services. Can you tell me what your experience is with VAs? What types of things do you hire out or outsource? You know, just general questions. And what I didn't realize at the time is I was really doing a little bit of like target market research. Mm-hmm. Two of those folks turned into clients.
Wow.
And I was off and running. So yeah, super cool. But this didn't happen overnight. This was a period of several months and, you know, coming up with ideas and scrapping them and
It's all part of the journey. I love it. Yep. I love it. Yep. Cool. So diving more into kind of what you're teaching today, let's dive into these fundamentals and these basics that we should be knowing about as, you know, entrepreneurs or side hustlers, you know, people who are transitioning out of the business or out of the corporate realm into entrepreneurship. What have you found people really need to know and grasp?
Yeah. So, I touched on this just a couple minutes ago, but really, you know, there are the things that we are great at and we can do. Mm-hmm. And then there are the things that, you know, we're good at, we're constantly learning about, we're excited about, and we will be great at in period of time. And I like the second category better for starting side businesses. When I first started out, I actually was more focused on the folks that were still brainstorming and still trying to figure out their idea. And now I'm more working with folks that already have their idea refined a little bit, and I'm helping them kind of fine tune it a little further and put some of the, other building blocks in place and helping them, you know, work from there. But yeah, so that's, I think that's like, that is the starting place. Cause even the folks that have a successful like freelancing business, or maybe they're a coach or something like that, there's always a little bit of work you can do. You can go back and take a look, you know, and make sure that what you're actually doing is a great fit for you. Cause there's a ton of different ways to be a copywriter. There's a ton of different ways to do websites or to coach, you know, and you know, sometimes it's just a little shift here and there that can make it even more awesome than it is.
Yeah. I love that. So I'm curious, how did the Facebook group come about? Why did you create that and what inspired that?
Well, I created that because that's what everybody was doing at the time. So, you know, and I feel like people are still doing that, but I was just like, I should really have a Facebook group. So I started it, you know, not with any real firm kind of direction for it, other than it was just going to be this big kind of gaggle of side hustlers. That's really the only thing that I had in mind at the time. And I seeded it with a couple of friends that I knew online and in person that would make great members for the group, and they would actually interact. So we got some stuff going. But it's been through a couple of different little iterations over time, and it's gotten, you know, that focus has gotten tighter and tighter and tighter each time. So now it's not necessarily this big, you know, sort of collection of random side hustlers. It's more about folks that are in the early part of the journey, but they have taken a first couple of steps. They've actually started to do something, thinking into different ideas. Maybe they have started to get results, you know, for somebody, whether or not they've had a paying client, not necessarily the case. There's a lot of people in my group who haven't had a paying client, but they've at least gotten out there and they've started to test the waters a little bit and they're doing something. So that's the direction that we're headed in now. It's more about just really working on these fundamentals. And from there, you know, where it makes sense, then we'll bring in some of the tools and some of the, you know, the more tactical things. But I think right now it's really just about getting people over some of the fears and hangups that I've noticed that a lot of side hustlers have. A lot of that is in just, you know, one, setting your pricing and asking for what you actually want to earn with your side hustle. Matching up an appropriate side hustle with your lifestyle and goals, making sure that what you want to do actually has legs and that's actually, you know, going to get you where you want to go. You know, and just tons of things in between, and also really just being open about your side business as well. Embracing it. If it's the right one, if you've chosen one that's actually a great fit for you, then it's part of who you are. It's another expression of your purpose. It's another piece of you. And so I'm a great example here. I'm a microbiologist. So that's how most of my friends in person and a lot of people online have known me before. But then I came out as a coach. And so a lot of people were like, whoa, what is this? You know, like, whoa, what is she doing? And I think a lot of people, you know, in the side hustle space, they're not comfortable yet. They're still kind of taking maybe baby steps. They're trying really, you know, to kind of one foot in front of the other, but, you know, gradually get themselves out there. But what, you know, I'm trying to teach or what I'm trying to show is that it's part of you. If this is something you love so deeply, and those are the folks that I love working with the most, the ones who really, really love their hustle, it's passion. It's a passion project they get paid for. Then you shouldn't be afraid of sharing it. It's who you are. So.
Yes. I love it. I love it. In alignment with the purpose is so critical, you know, like if it's not something that really fuels you. I know AJ was on earlier today talking about like, what is your genius zone? What like gives you energy to do? And what is like in that bigger life purpose? So where are you finding that these side hustlers are kind of dropping the ball when it comes to executing? They have the idea, the idea's clear, but they're just not executing effectively. What are you finding is the biggest challenges that they're going through?
Well, the biggest challenge that I've noticed, and particularly, you know, as I've taken a really, you know, close, like, microscope to the problem, I've noticed that folks are really, and, you know, I'm guilty of this too. I'm not saying, I'm not putting this on anybody, but honestly, like, sometimes there are things in our businesses that are easier to do, less threatening or less anxiety inducing, or, you know, especially for us introverts, you know, so what I notice most is that somebody will say, you know, I'm starting a business. And I'm like, that's awesome. Like, I've got this new business going. I'm like, what is your business? They say, well, I started a blog. And I will say, okay, awesome. How soon do you want to be earning money with this? You know, and then you start to talk to them and you start to kind of tease things out. Well, I thought I would like to create a course at some point. I'm like, okay, have you gotten a result for somebody or help somebody get a result in what you do? What could you do around that? You know? And so that's where people are, they tend to put the brakes on and say, okay, you know, talking to people is a little scary, you know, reaching out to people is a little scary. I'm not, you know, like necessarily 100% confident that that's what I want to do yet. My website's not ready yet. My, you know what I mean? So that's it. At least the folks that are in my space, that's my sweet spot in helping. So
what do you think keeps people coming back to your group and like wanting to work with you? What's your like secret sauce or space that you provide or context and how you make people feel kind of thing?
Well, I think probably the biggest thing, one of my superpowers here is really, well, two things. One, I'm a little bit of a nag. So if you work with me, you know that I will be there to check in on you and I will definitely be there to help you and provide feedback. Like, you know, at least every other day, if not daily, depending on the context that we're working together. And I'm the same way in the group. So I'm in there and I'm always tagging other people. If there's, you know, other expertise in the group, I'm like, hey, can you help out here? I'm helping to foster connections in the group. It's at the point now where several folks in the group, you know, have hired each other and they're you know, doing all kinds of cool stuff together. So it makes me really happy. There's a strong community there because support is critical. But yeah, the other thing as well, is just that I am not, like a business guru. I'm just, you know, me, I'm a full-time employee who's doing this thing on the side. So I understand when people say I had to stay late at my work, my job, or I had to get up early to go to work. Something happened. Someone called out. This happened. I mean, Chris, you know, today, that's why I'm in my car because I am shorthanded and I had to take care of some testing before I came to the interview today. So I think that's the other thing is that I'm just relatable and I break things down for somebody, for anybody to understand because I'm not an MBA, you know, I just, I'm just me.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. So, as your entrepreneurial journey evolves and your business scales, what do you see like changing about that relatability? Like, do you think you'll like, for example, let's say you get to eight figures, you know, like eight figures a year, may or may not be a goal for you. But like, how do you want to empower people? How do you keep a hold on the experience and the circumstances that you've been in the past or right now as you continue to grow? Like, how do you stay relatable? Or do you see yourself, you know, your brand evolving into more focused on entrepreneurship coaching than the side hustle? How do you see that kind of evolving?
Well, I've already started to see how this is going to evolve, or at least how I feel like it's most naturally kind of progressing for me. It's, you know, when I first started out coaching, the area that I really wanted to help in was just helping people get one off the ground, just pick an idea and go. Now I'm in that next phase where it's like, we've got the idea, let's fine tune it and make sure that it's as awesome as it can be. So I see that like, I'm just one step ahead of the people that I'm helping. Yeah. So, you know, as this thing grows, I love the one-to-one stuff. So I don't ever see like myself not doing some degree of one-to-one coaching. I also love the group and I like the group. It's relatively small and I'm actually happy with that because the people that are in there, I mean, the quality of the folks are just amazing. So I'm not in a rush to get to like 50,000 members. It would be cool at some point, but I think I'll always have some degree of, you know, direct contact with the folks that I'm working with. And I want to keep it intentionally small, so we'll see. But to answer your question, I just kind of think it'll keep moving as I move through each phase. The people that I can help and the people that I'm most lit up about helping will probably be the group that's right behind.
I love it. I love it. What's your vision for the world as these skills and abilities, as you grow this community, like, what do you want to see in the world?
Well, it's really important to me that, you know, the 9-to-5 employee who's out there, who's sitting in their cubicle, like I was, with an idea, actually has the support and has the tools, and in a non-threatening, very accessible way, can get something going. You know, you have a laptop, or if you've got your camera, you're a photographer, you can actually get out there and confidently get something going. Mm-hmm. You know, it can feel sometimes, you know, and again, I'm including myself in this, if you're scrolling Facebook, depending on who you're following, it can really feel like, you know, why bother? Because there are people that are doing this thing full time, and maybe we're in the same space, and they can go live 6 times a day, and I can go live once a week, or, you know, like, I can do this much, you know, my timeline is different, you know? And so it's really, really important to me to keep putting this message out there that, yeah, you know, but you know what our superpower is? What? Consistency. So yes. There was somebody that I was following for quite a while, and, you know, he's a full-time entrepreneur, and he was really making a name for himself, you know, in the, like, live streaming, like, video, like, for entrepreneurs space. And, you know, a couple of months ago, he just completely folded up his Facebook group and said, I'm moving on to something else. Guess what? If a side hustler had been doing that, and they had been putting in time, and they had, even if it was just once a week, and they had stuck with it, they'd still be there. Mm-hmm. So that's why I really, really preach the whole consistency aspect, and not to compare yourself, you know, to others, because, you know, and every time, and I say this too, every time I say something like that, these are always reminders to myself. So,
yes. Yeah. Yeah. I love it. How do you think the mindset of being willing to let go of what's comfortable plays into an entrepreneur's or a side hustler's success?
Yeah. So, you know, I can speak from the side hustle perspective. Like, this starting a business was like the best thing that I ever could have done for my personal growth. Like, this has challenged me more than anything I've ever done before.
Yep.
It's brought up stuff that, you know, I have never dealt with before. I had never had to deal with before. I am the type that has never even negotiated my salary. When I get a new job, I'm just like, oh, you want to pay me that? Great. Where do I sign? You know, I've never even negotiated a salary. And a lot of folks that, you know, are in my space, they, in my world, they are the same way. And it's like, okay, well, we have to step up. We have to own our greatness. Mm-hmm. And we have to advocate for ourselves and really just, you know, almost becoming another person, because it's not about, I don't know. It's more about like who you need to become, you know, and it's within you. It's there. It's just that your environment, maybe in the full-time job, doesn't demand that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does, but maybe it doesn't. But what I've seen, and, you know, I know a lot of other side hustlers can relate to this, is that there's a big time crossover between the strides you make in your side business and what you can do at work too in the day. Like, I feel like that confidence, just, there's no way to contain it and just compartmentalize it. It's going to bleed over into everything else.
Yeah.
So
how do you manage the balance between like wanting to take the leap into the side hustle and go like full time with that, and like staying at the job that, you know, some people may love their job, some people may hate their job, and they're like, I just want to get out. Like, how do you manage that, or what's your advice around that?
Yeah. So it all depends on the job. I had actually a client not too long ago who had a full-time job, and he was absolutely miserable, and it was bleeding into, like, you know, his home life, and he was just awful. So he had a little bit of savings, and he quit that and then focused on his hustle full-time for a little while. And now he's taken a job again, but it's on his terms. He knew the parameters that job had to, you know, meet for him in order to make that leap into the job. And so he was able to make that work. Cause in my philosophy, the full-time job is not the enemy. It's not evil. It's not a bad thing. It's about the choices that you've made to get you there. And whether or not you've understood enough about yourself to know what types of environments you're going to thrive in, what works for you. Because if you don't know that and you have a crappy job, there's a good chance you'll create a crappy side hustle. So if you can take the time to reflect on that and really, you know, create for yourself a great job, which can provide the health insurance, you know, the steady paycheck, and act as a foundation, you know, basically a home base, so that you can then send feelers out about side hustles. Like, oh, I'm interested in this. Oh, I want to try that. The full-time job allows that. And you have, you know, room and, you know, breathing room, and, you know, you can fail and you can try something else. It's not all or nothing then. For me personally, I actually really do enjoy my full-time job. I'm in an interesting place right now where I'm sort of between two roles. I have an opportunity to do something that's outside of microbiology, and I'm kind of ready for that. I'm ready to do something that's just completely, it's related because I'm in manufacturing, but it's basically a continuous improvement lean role. And so I have projects going on for that. And I've got my other day job as microbiology supervisor. Wow. So I'm having fun at the day job right now. So I don't really foresee in the near future leaving. The balance, sometimes it hurts. I think in the pre-chat, I was telling you about this, about the fact that, you know, sometimes in the morning, you know, when I have to close the laptop and, you know, hop in the shower and go to the day job, I'm like, you know, like if I just had a little more time, like mm-hmm. if I could just, because I need to finish this piece or that, or I just don't want to, you know, I've just had a great coaching call with somebody and I don't want to switch gears. It feels like it's getting harder now, more and more. It's getting harder to make that switch because it is a different role. And it requires different things of me, I think, in some ways. And it's just, you know, but you do what you got to do. And I'm not saying where I'll be in 5 years right now. I'm not really worried about that. I'm just going to see how things are, you know, and take it in stride.
Yeah. I love it. I love it. What have you found has been one of your biggest challenges in terms of continuing with the side hustle and growing the group? What have been some challenges that you've gone through?
Well, probably the biggest thing is really just, you know, putting myself out there as the leader of the group. Up until about a month ago, I was essentially, you know, the leader of the group, but I was very much a facilitator. You know, I'm the one that kind of gathers the guests and brings them on, and I bring you all this great content every week and hey, but you know, then no one's going to necessarily know what I can do as a coach because I've basically turned over the reins to somebody else every week. So that was, and you know, it's a function of the fact that I was actually very camera shy and not all that excited about being alone on Facebook Live. Yeah. So it was easier for me to have a sidekick on there. Yeah. So it was time to put on the big girl pants and just say, you know what, that person just taught something that I could teach. Why? And they're in my group and now everybody is going to their list or their group or whatever. And I'm just like, you know what? Something has to change here. So it was time to kind of shed that fear and just go for it. And it's not perfect every time. Mm-hmm. I still feel like I'm talking to myself when I go live, you know, solo. I just feel like, oh my God, who's listening? Who cares? You know, but I'm doing it. So
that's the number one thing. It's interesting because Facebook Live now allows us to interact with an audience on the other side. And some people, when they're starting out in their social media journey, don't necessarily have a ton of people who tune into those Facebook Lives. I started making videos, like short videos, three to five minute videos, like 3 years ago, right? And even probably before that, probably like 4 or 5 years ago, when I started my network marketing, I did it for a year, right? I was in network marketing for a year. And I made content occasionally, but not as often as it is today or as I have been doing. But it's interesting because there was no live before then. So it's like, it's cool because you can stop the video and cancel it and like start a new one if it's not working for you. But it was also like weird because I was just talking into some theoretical person who would be watching at some point, you know? So it's just interesting how time keeps evolving. I wonder what trends are going to open up when there's like virtual reality rooms where there's people, like we can see an audience watching us in our Facebook Live. Like imagine what's going to happen, like how much more people will be confronted, because that's like real public speaking, like one step short of public speaking, right?
Yep. Oh my gosh, I hadn't even thought of that, but you know, at least that's why I'm starting now.
Exactly.
It's been as scary as hell, but that's how I knew I had to do it, and I get a rush every time I do it, so I'm like, I'm on the right path, this is fun.
Yes. But I think the big like philosophy or the theme is no matter where people are at, whether they're a side hustler, whether they're a full-time entrepreneur, there's always going to be challenges and things to overcome. And like you said, you know, starting a business or being an entrepreneur or side hustler, like that process of jumping in, of diving in, is like one of the most challenging things that we can do. And one of the biggest like growth opportunities and accelerators of personal development. Yep. I think it's just cool to see people like you, Tracy, jumping up and kind of like taking I don't want to say taking the hits, taking the bullets, but like you're leading the charge for people who are coming after you. And you know, I think it's really awesome how you are modeling what you're teaching everyone else. It's really cool.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. So what do you see the values are that you're really eschewing and promoting in the marketplace? What are your top values and the things that you're living that's like making you who you are? And I know we talked a little bit about community and stuff earlier, but like, what are the top values that you're living?
Well, the other thing, you know, and this is maybe it's a function of my age, my maturity, I'm not sure, but it's not about hustle, 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 hustle. I love the word hustle, but to me, hustle means something different than I think it means to maybe some other folks. It doesn't mean work yourself into the ground and destroy all your relationships in, you know, the hopes that someday things will be awesome. You know, hustle just means, you know, you have the drive to accomplish something and you are going a little bit further than maybe somebody else is. And that's fine, you know, because you want to do it. So the values, are around that. It's just around, you know, the kind of the side hustler as a human being, not just as somebody who has a day job and a side business. Yeah. It's a human being. You are a complete person. And as such, you need to get your sleep. You need to eat right. You need to exercise. You have to, you know, have a social life. You got to make time for, you know, the things that nourish you and keep you going. Otherwise, you know, you can go for a little while if you don't do that, but you'll burn out. You absolutely will burn out.
Yeah. How do you create a balance between the social life and being productive? How do you know what works and what doesn't? How do you measure whether you're balanced and fulfilled in all areas of life and when you're not?
So usually, I mean, my body will tell me when things are out of whack. And so, you know, when the exercise starts to, that's usually the thing with me. Like my diet is pretty decent and, you know, my social life is good because I have a pretty regular schedule. The weekends are all about like hanging out with friends and my girlfriend. Anything, but usually the exercise is the thing that slips off the calendar. Oopsie. And you know, I start to feel it. I just feel kind of sluggish. I feel tired. And I know that I need to make a couple of adjustments. I need to retweak what I call a master schedule. So it's essentially a time blocking model. So, you know, we have a finite number of hours in the week and I block out stuff. I put everything on there, the full-time job, my commute, you know, the stuff I do in the group, coaching calls, and all of the other stuff, sleep, date night, all of that, it's all there. So, you know, and also that has helped me to say no to things, because if somebody is asking me to do something that's going to represent a nice chunk of time, I will look at the master schedule and say, well, if that's going to be added in, something's got to come out. It's math. Yeah. So
do you find it's pretty easy and straightforward to stay on track with that master schedule, or do you find it challenging?
It's easy for me because it's at, you know, my approach to it is very customized, I guess the best way to put it. It's where it's essentially a template for my week. It's not an accounting of where I spend every minute of every week. It's just basically like a blueprint. So it's like on, you know, Friday nights, I go out with my girlfriend. On Sundays, we have Sunday fun day, you know, on Fridays, I have my coaching call in this time, you know, and I kind of move stuff around. So yeah, I have a very flexible approach to time blocking.
Awesome. Cause I know that's one of the biggest challenges of people. When we were talking earlier about like getting uncomfortable, there's these things that a lot of side hustlers, entrepreneurs don't want to do in their business. They don't want to, you know, confront the uncomfortable. They don't want to ask for the sale. They don't want to, you know, get on calls and do research. They don't want to invite people to their offers or their services. And I know one of the challenging things about that is we can design the schedule and we can put it into the schedule, but like following through on that might be more difficult and people might get distracted and they might, you know, make excuses. I'm curious if you have any solutions or guidance on how to mitigate that.
Yeah. And the big thing that I see is that, you know, I ran a challenge in my group last fall on basically setting up your master schedule. And what I found is that a lot of folks didn't even really know where they should be spending their time. I kept getting that question. I had people track their time for a week and they're like, I'm not even sure if this is as much like I should I be spending more time here, less time here. I'm not even sure. Am I missing something? Is there something I'm not doing that I should be doing? So that's the first place, is really just to have an understanding of what you should be spending time on in your business right now. You know, and in the case of a lot of folks in my group and on my list, you know, if you haven't had a paying client yet, or if you even, if you haven't gotten, help somebody get a result yet, the first thing you should do is that, you know, be in conversations with people that you can help. You know, that should be the number one thing, not writing your blog, not starting a podcast. You know, I mean, I'm not saying you can't do those things, but I'm saying if your goal is to have a business that's generating income, then that's where you focus.
Yeah, go produce a result, and that's like the priority over everything. So until you go out, someone goes out and does that, then everything else is, could be potentially like a distraction or a waste of time that diverts from actually getting the side hustle up off the ground and making it profitable and having the, like the win, the victory of doing it. Because if people are constantly, you know, starting blogs or doing the easy stuff, creating content, but it's not necessarily producing the results that they want in their business, then they're going to burn out or they're going to like give up.
Yeah, exactly what happens. Then people will sit there and say, well, I tried this and it didn't work. You know, and I put all this time in, you know, and I have nothing to show for it. And I just am not good at business. Forget it. You know, let me just not do that again. And that sucks. I would hate for that to be the case for anybody. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting the how time is progressing and how entrepreneurship is becoming more of like a cultural standard, and people are like, yeah, you know, entrepreneurship, like I'm all about it. I'm all about being, you know, personal growth, personal development, being my best self. And a lot of people are finding that, and we have more of an entrepreneurial audience here, but I'd say a lot of people are like wanting that freedom, wanting that self-expression, wanting to live their purpose. And sometimes, most of the time, it doesn't happen within a corporation because there's not that allowance of full self-expression of I'm going to create my reality because I'm submitting to someone else's agenda. And that might be a step along the journey, but it's interesting how entrepreneurship is becoming more of the norm, more accepted, more, yes. You know, people are attempting it. And I wonder how people who give it a shot and maybe don't succeed and they go back to corporate and they're like, okay, you know, like screw entrepreneurship. I tried that. I did an MLM company and it sucked. You know, like I spent all this money and I didn't get the result. And now they like hate entrepreneurship. It's interesting to see how those people, you know, maybe were once jaded and closed off to entrepreneurship or side hustling. And as time goes on, they see all their friends getting into it and, you know, being successful or being lit up by it, being excited about it, going to seminars and events and stuff.
Definitely.
I'm really excited about how that paradigm is evolving and more people are doing that. And I'm curious about, like, in the future, what does, you know, business look like as we get like robots and AI and all these kinds of things to take over kind of those corporate jobs and the basic kind of stuff? Like, what's going to happen with entrepreneurship? Is it going to be the standard? Like, what's going to happen with competition or, you know, people like trying to be the best? And in such a competitive market with AI kind of replacing those jobs, it's going to be very, very fascinating.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, to your point about more and more people jumping into this thing, and it's because, you know, it's, you know, things like Facebook Live, you know, just making all this stuff more visible, you know, people like me, you know, random lady in California, you know, with no MBA or any kind of business credentials, really formal, can go live and say, I can teach you all about how to define your business idea and how to get your first clients, you know, how cool. So, you know, maybe there's some lady out in Iowa who's like, that's rad. I want to do something like that. You know, it's inspiring.
Yeah, it is. What a time to be alive. I love it.
I know.
I love it. I love it. So we're beginning to wrap up now, Tracy. And like, what is there any other points that we didn't cover in this interview that you really wanted to get across that you wanted people to know about? We're going to dive into that first. And then after that, we're going to talk about like a call to action, like the new paradigm that we want people to step into. So I just want to make sure that is there anything that we didn't cover that you feel is essential that people know about side hustle, that you feel people know about you, about the group, about, you know, just what you're out to create. You want to share your message, anything else like that?
No, really just, you know, I think we covered most of it. Really just that, you know, if you're out there and you're thinking about starting a side hustle, if there's something that you want to do, have a passion that you want to monetize, go for it. You know, don't let fear hold you back. Don't sit in the, you know, closet about it. Tell your friends, tell people, because you never know who might be able to help you or who might want to hire you. So that's kind of my biggest call to action, is really just do it, go do it. Because, you know, to Chris's point, you know, your point from earlier, this is the direction that the world is moving in. I think, you know, it's great to have a full-time job. I will still have my full-time job for as long as I want to have it. But, you know, if this is in your head, if you've got this little like seedling of an idea, go explore it, go get the skills, go figure this stuff out. Now you're going to be ahead of the game.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So Tracy, how do people stay connected to you, and what do you want them to do next?
Yeah. So obviously the group, so it's called Side Hustle Success Lab. And yes, I love alliteration. So I heard with the intro, there's a lot of alliteration, but anyway, yeah, Side Hustle Success Lab. You know, if you're on Facebook right now watching this, you can just search it. Otherwise, sidehustlesuccesslab.com will take you right there as well. And so, yeah, I have a link for your guests, and it's tracynutolo.com/bygps, I believe.
It is. Sweet. So, yeah. Love
people
it.
People can go over there. I have, you can book a free call with me if you'd like to learn more and have a chit chat with me. There's actually also a guide over there, a free guide on how you can optimize your Facebook profile for business. You can let folks know that your shop is open.
Beautiful. I love it. Tracy, you are a superstar. Thank you for all the work that you're doing. You know, personally for me, I just am so grateful for being on the entrepreneurial journey and to have discovered personal development and moving forward. And it started out with a side hustle, right? With a network marketing company that kind of ignited this possibility of there's something else out there. I don't have to work a 9-to-5 for the rest of my life. Like, I don't have to sit in a cubicle all day long. And for me, one of my biggest values is freedom. And choice and self-expression. So I love the work that you're doing, because you're giving people access to a completely new world, a whole new freaking life, like literally, like just mind blown, right? Mind blown. Like, you're blowing people's minds about what is possible. And because you're being the example, because you're out in front, because you're the demonstration, people now have access to a whole new reality where they're the creator versus the victim versus feeling like they're forced into something. And, you know, like, you're changing people's destiny from live until whatever 80 or 90 years old and having regrets because they didn't feel self-expressed. They didn't feel like they got their message out. You're giving them the access to create their reality. So I love what you're doing. And my request is that you keep going full force and helping as many people as possible.
Thank you so much. And I can say all the same to you as well. And you know what? I am sticking with this, so I'm not going anywhere anytime soon.
I know you are. I know you are. I know you are. Awesome. Tracy, so keep up the great work, and we will see you very soon, okay?
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Awesome, Tracy. See you soon. From the bottom of my heart, thank you for tuning in. Right now, we've reached the end of this episode, but this is the start of a whole new beginning. Each and every moment, you have an opportunity to rewrite your story. Right here, right now, decide and commit who you are going to be. Think about how you will use these ideas, wisdom, and inspiration to make the difference in your life. What actions will you take today and every day to step into your greatest possible self? Again, a big shout out to our sponsor, EmployeeEscapePlan.com. If you're committed to learning how to truly harness your abilities and passions to serve the people who are hungry and desperate for what you have to offer, make a great income off of your genius, or if you're ready to get more clients to pay you more money, head over to www.EmployeeEscapePlan.com and let Joe know you were sent by Chris. Did you enjoy this episode? Let your friends know about it. Share the website, beyourgps.com, and send me some love on social media. If you want to clarify your vision, uncover blind spots, get more energy, tap into your flow, and take massive action, head over to beyourgps.com/coaching to schedule some time into my calendar. Now, master yourself, create your reality, and make every day your best day. day ever.